This morning, I want to talk about what is God's dream? You know, we as believers, followers of Jesus, we are told to earnestly contend for the faith. What does earnestly mean? That means you roll up your sleeves. You're going to do your part to fight for your faith. When Satan comes at you, as he does, we roll up our sleeves and we get in the Word and we start praying and we get with fellow believers and we get ourselves strengthened through fellowship and the Word and prayer and connecting with our Lord Jesus. We earnestly contend for the faith. You know, yesterday I was changing oil in one of our vans. I had the garage door open, had the car up on the van up on blocks, and I'm underneath it, laying underneath it, changing the oil and doing some maintenance underneath. And all of a sudden, a hen, not a rooster, a hen comes in the garage and says, "I like it in here. This is my territory." And she starts pecking around at seeds or whatever was in there. And she sees my foot sticking out from underneath the van. And she's like, "Well, what are you doing in my territory?" And she tore my foot up. This is a hen, not a rooster. We ate the rooster. But this was a hen. And I got to thinking, isn't she just like the devil? He claims us. He claims us. But you know what? As I talk about God's dream this morning, we're going to see, as we look at God's dream, we're going to see how victory over the enemy is possible. Now, even when he comes in and claims territory that rightfully belongs to God and is part of God's dream, we'll see how we get the victory. Last night I had been working through the week and getting my sermon all ready, and it just didn't feel like it was connecting correctly. So I said, "God, you have a dream. And I'm flesh and blood, but I want you to share your dream through me." I'm like, "Well, now how am I going to do this?" So I just picked up my pen. I let God speak to me, and I just wrote what he gave me. And after I read this, what God gave me last night, we're going to be moving to some scriptures where God has written down his dream for you and I, for his church, for his people. He dreams of connecting with you. Don't look at your neighbor. He dreams of connecting with you. "I dream of you." This is like God speaking. "I dream of you. You are on my mind. At the dawning of day, your presence, you, me, you, at the dawning of day, your presence occupies my mind, and I long for a gentle and a kind word from you. And I, God, long to return to you soft words of pleasure and affirmation." How do we start our mornings? Are we thinking in the morning, God wants to connect with me. He wants to hear kind and loving words from me. And he wants to affirm me. He wants to say to me, "I'm going to be with you. This is a day that I've given you. Let's walk it together." And he wants to give us words of pleasure and affirmation. That's what he wants to do in the morning. That's his dream, is for you to have that kind of relationship with him in the morning, where you're meeting with him, connecting with him. That's his dream. At noonday, I watch you, caring for you, and I long for a few moments to bless you with words of fresh blessing and direction. I long to hear you tell me about your day, what you have accomplished, and what you still desire to accomplish. I want to know. I want to know how your day is going. What have you accomplished? What do you still want to accomplish this day? I weep when you turn from me and seek pleasure in things that I know are only fleeting and momentary. I want to wrap you up in my arms. I want to give you a high five and watch you dance off into the rest of your day with newfound purpose and the warmth of my joy rolling off you and impacting others. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, how is your noonday? God dreams to connect. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear what you want to accomplish the rest of the day. He wants to hear what you need, what you want him to do for you so you can successfully accomplish things. He wants to know. The Word says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In the middle of the day, He wants to fill you with fresh joy and make you strong. At eventide, I dream of sitting down with you at my footstool and I on my couch. As we converse about the events of your day and your hopes for tomorrow, every fiber of my being desires our conversation to touch on things that exist in your heart and yours alone. The things so deep and precious to you that they can scarcely be put into human language. Brothers and sisters, do you ever feel like that about God? He's done so much for you and you love Him so much that you can't even put it in words. The change He's made in your life. And when He pours His Spirit on you, just feel that warmth just run down your spine. And you're listening to Christian music and hymns and you're just getting a thrill. You're in love with Him. And you're just enjoying His presence. By the way, that's how we're meant to live. That's how we're meant to live. That you can scarcely put your feelings in words. God longs for you to try to put it in words. The end of your day, He wants you to put it in words. Let me hear from you. When you're feeling things so deep that you can scarcely express it in human language, then my dream is to read your heart as only I can and find there indescribable longings that only I can fill. There's longings in our heart. I'm telling you, everyone here, there's longings in our heart that only God can fill. You can try all your life. But God's dream is to fill those things. Fill that need for connection. Fill that need for Him in your heart. That there's longings that only He can fill. And we're living in a world where everyone is running to and fro, trying to find fulfillment, trying to find purpose in life, trying to find something beyond the mere moment. Wow. God's dream. Then I dream of meeting your need. I shudder with pleasure as I grant you the desire of your heart and fill your love cup to overflowing. Then, here's his dream in a nutshell. After I've filled your love cup, then I dream of you infecting another precious longed-for soul with a deep and savage hunger and thirst for me. God's dream is to be so real to you that when you open the pages of Scripture, it's like He jumps out and He's speaking just to you. When you're singing or listening to music, He desires to be in the words and just fill your love cup with Himself through the wonderful gift of music. That's what He longs for. And He longs that when you get down on your knees or you're walking, I walk and pray. When I'm walking and praying and communicating with God and He's telling me things and I'm telling Him things, He wants to make that so overwhelming that when I talk to other people, when we talk to other people and share about Jesus, about the relationship, about the forgiveness, the freedom that He brings us, and about the relationship that we can have with Him, that we infect other people with a savage longing for Him, that nothing else, they'll never be happy again until they find God, until they find their connection with their Heavenly Father. Just a savage thing that they just have to have what these believers have. They've got to have it. And they feel like they can't live another day without having what you have. A dream of you infecting others. Precious souls that God longs for just as much as He longs for you. With a savage hunger and thirst for God, their Creator. That's God's dream. That's what He wants. Listen to what the Word says. I'm just going to read Isaiah 43:4. The Lord says, listen to what God says. The Lord says, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. You are precious in my sight. You are honored, and I love you. How does that make you feel? You're precious in God's sight. You're honored. And I love you. Wow. That should give us a savage hunger to know more of Him, to connect at a deeper level, to through the Word and through the Word and prayer and fellowship, to get the victory over whatever's keeping us from being that kind of person that's infectious to other people, that impacts other people and gives them a savage hunger. You're precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. And His dream is for you to respond to that the fact that you're precious in His sight and honored, and He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the love in a nutshell. That's what He did. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. Let me give the background of this verse, these passages. God had needed to discipline His people because they were following other gods. And in following other gods, they took up the detestable practices of the heathen nations around them. They were sacrificing their children. They were making altars and sacrificing, killing and sacrificing their children on the altar. They were proud. They were haughty. They were following other gods. They were oppressing the poor, the needy, and the aliens among them. And God, at a certain point, he said, enough, enough. And they went into exile for 70 years. Now read God's heart. Yes, he had to discipline his people for the horrible things they were doing. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed in Babylon, where they were exiled, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. He was going to bring them back to their homeland. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. As we look at that passage, see God's heart? As you go through the Old Testament, there's all kinds of discipline. There's all kinds of exile. There's all kinds of times when he has to work with his people because of horrible practices that they were picking up from the nations around them as they adopted heathen religions and the practices. But God's heart is right there. I will hear you. I will bring you back. I long to hold you. I long to nourish you. I long for you. God's dream. Jeremiah 32. Again, a very similar situation where the people had set up abominable idols in the house that bears the name of God. They built high places in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to sacrifice their sons and daughters to Molech, a foreign god, a dead god. Though I never commanded, nor did enter my mind that they should do such a detestable thing and so make Judah sin. Again, they were sacrificing their children on the altar to Molech, a demonic god. And God never commanded them to do such a detestable thing ever. It never even entered his mind. Listen to what God says. Here's his dream for these people who are doing those horrible things. I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they may never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. You see God's heart? Does God ever discipline you? Can anyone give me an illustration? When God disciplines us, He disciplines His people. He needed to. He needs to discipline us. How does He discipline His people? He makes you think twice. Don, I like that. He makes you think twice. When we do something and God processes it and says, you know, I wish you hadn't done that. That's not good. He brings something to our mind that makes us think twice about it. Why did I do that? And then His Father heart comes out. He just calls us to repent. Tell Him, I'm sorry, God. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. He convicts us and makes us think twice about what we've done. And then His Father comes. His Father heart comes. His dream is to connect with you. Heart-to-heart level. Heart-to-heart. I will give them singleness of heart, meaning your heart is just directed toward one thing. Overwhelmingly directed toward one thing. That's what singleness of heart is. Your heart is overwhelmingly directed to one thing. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after you. Singleness of heart. Why is that a familiar term or familiar concept? So often in human relationships, we get singleness of heart. When we see a girl we want to marry, we get singleness of heart. It's like, whoosh, just to put it in context. But God is saying there's another type of singleness of heart that is so much more powerful and is lifelong and eternal. They will be my people and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will never stop doing good to them and I will inspire them to fear me. So that they will never turn away from me. Wow. That's God's dream. God's dream to give you singleness of heart where your heart is just savagely driven to Him. That whenever we face a decision, whenever something tough comes along, whenever we have questions, whenever things are not going the way we'd like them to go, we just have this savage, it's just irresistible drive to connect with Him. God, I need your help. God, what do I do in this situation? You're my Father. Tell me. Show me what to do. That's what His dream is, for His people to have that. Instead of immediately run to our mind. In any situation we're in, our mind has an idea what to do, but it's not always the right idea. He wants us in singleness of heart and just total focus and concentration on Him. We get the answers that we're looking for. Singleness of heart. That's what He wants for His people. You know, there are a lot of believers here. Committed to the Lord Jesus. Heart, soul, and mind given to Him. we can impact this community. We can impact the people in our circle of influence a lot more than we are. We can do so much more. And God's dream is that we do so much more. Because every soul out there in the community, where we work, where we play, wherever we are as believers, we are meant to impact them so much that they have that savage hunger for God that can only be met when they make that connection with Him. That's how we should be living. So how do we do it? What's missing that we aren't impacting people more? I'm open to conversation.
1 Corinthians 15:34. Does come to your senses and stop sinning, for some people are ignorant about God. I say this to your shame. So obedience.
Can you say that again?
1 Corinthians 15:34. Come to your senses and stop sinning, for some people are ignorant about God. I say this to your shame.
Desire. Yes. Both of those comments are so good. If there's sin in our life, we need to deal with it. Absolutely. We need to stop it. We need to have that clear connection. So we have singleness of heart toward Him, directed totally to Him. And we need to cry. The desire can't come from us. The desire has to be planted in our hearts by God. We have to cry out for desire. God, give me more desire. Give me more desire to impact the world. Take away the fear. Fear is a big issue. Take away the fear. Let's look at Matthew 23, 37 and 38. Jesus, the one who died on the cross, the one who voluntarily left heaven to walk this earth, to suffer, to die, to be spit on, to be beaten, to be wounded and bloody and everything to happen. The one who did that, here's his heart. Toward people very similar to you and I. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Looking down over the city of people. We could compare it to Dover. You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. That's their response, rejection. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate as a result. Can you see God's dream for the city of Jerusalem, for people? Oh, God is just saying, oh, I just long to... Most of you aren't farmers, are you? You know about chickens. I know enough about chickens to know they can peck. You know, they start pecking, they're not fooling around. And God longed. Jesus used that as an illustration. I long to protect your children. I long to protect you from the enemy. That's what I want to do. The longing that He has is to gather you and love you. Many people say that God is a fable, that He doesn't exist, or if He does, He's hateful, spiteful, and powerless, etc., etc., etc. Brothers and sisters, we occasionally get that thought. Don't believe it. Don't buy it. That's a desolate philosophy of life that can only multiply desolation, emptiness, and fear. As Jesus prayed for Jerusalem and said, I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicken, and they rejected him, he said, your house is left to you desolate. What's desolate? It's a place you don't want to go. It's a place you don't want to be. If you reject Jesus, if you reject God, if you reject the voice of the Holy Spirit as He works in your life and gives you direction and shows you where the areas of sin in your life and urges you to correct them and get on the path to pure, open communication with God. If we reject that, there's nothing but desolation. There's desolation. That's a place you don't want to go. A place that just sends shivers up and down your spine to think of it. Separation from God. And ultimately, that's what hell is. It's eternal separation from God. And sadly, there are a lot of people around us where that process has already started. That process of separation from God and the desolation that they're already beginning to feel from that separation from God, their Creator. God's dream is so powerful, it's so strong, and it's so deep in His heart that He risks you and I, He risks you and I helping Him fulfill His dream. And you look at yourself and you say, who, me? Yes, God's dream of salvation for people, God's dream of connecting with people and loving them and wrapping them up in His arms and giving them a high five and filling them with joy. His dream is for all these people. You know His dream for me, Don, for you, Ken, for you, for all of us. His dream for us is to connect with Him, be used by Him in kingdom building. But the people around us, the people we work with, the people that we know, the dream is just as strong for them. And He chooses to use us to help Him fulfill His dream. Let me say that again. He chooses to use us in all our weakness, in all our tendencies, and being totally dependent on Him. He knows we're totally dependent on Him. But He still wants to use us to fulfill His dream for the people around us. Are we going to cooperate with Him? Or will our house be left to us desolate? If you reject Jesus, if you reject His word to you, if you reject following Him and connecting with Him and getting the forgiveness of sins, I can't offer you anything but desolation. That's it. A fitting word. A place of weeping. Desolation. And as one of your pastors, I don't want to see any of you in a desolate place. I'm going to use improper English. It ain't nowhere to be. It ain't nowhere to be. You don't want to be there. And if you don't know how to get out of your place of desolation, please talk to myself or Lynn or somebody, a mature Christian who's able to show you how to get freedom from the desolation of sin and failure and depending on yourself and get you to a point of dependence on God and the joy that experiencing the joy that comes from releasing everything to Him. It's a wonderful place to be. And those of you who are strong believers, those of you who know Him, let's get more busy. Let's get more dependent. First of all, let's get more dependent on Him so we can be more useful. If we don't get more dependent on Him, then we can't be more useful. Worship team, if you want to come. As the worship team leads us in music, I'd just like to say that if anyone just has a desire to be more useful to the kingdom, if anyone desires to get out of a place of desolation, just come. The altar is open. Just come talk to God. Pour out your heart. One of His dreams is for you to pour out your heart so He can reply to it. I invite you to do that as the worship team leads us.